Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today we are looking at the e-commerce sector. We're looking at how digital payments, digital commerce, online delivery, that entire sector of the retail industry, which has sort of been transformed in the last couple of months because of lockdowns, is doing, and maybe what does the future look like, what is the current state of it. But to help us to unpack what's going on in that sector, we are joined by Karen Addison, who is the country manager at PayU, which is a fintech company that actually provides payment technology to online merchants. Now, she has recently been appointed as the chairperson for the e-commerce forum of South Africa, so we're definitely going to be to get some good insights from her, because we hear that this year actually promises to be one of the biggest yet for e-commerce in the country. Karen, greetings to you, and I guess just a little bit around what the e-commerce forum is for South Africa.
Hi, good morning. So the e-commerce forum's mission statement is to increase awareness, confidence, and capability of the e-commerce industry in South Africa, thereby allowing e-commerce to grow, flourish, and contribute to the economy. We're committed to encouraging training and education led by business and by academia. So interestingly enough, when the EFSA was founded, there was only one university offering e-commerce courses. So we are now in dialogue with five. Solid research is also vitally important for the healthy growth of any sector. It encourages investment, it provides indicators of development, and highlights opportunities. E-commerce also offers particular opportunities for women and disadvantaged communities, including informal traders, as we've seen now during the COVID crisis. The EFSA is exploring ways to promote inclusivity and by doing so, reduce the digital divide. We have two board members, Adish Boudry of UCT and Warwick Kearns of Insaka Academy, who are both leaders in education and training on e-commerce in South Africa. Trust is also vitally important in the industry, both from a consumer and a business perspective, in order to create sustainable growth in the industry. The development of trust is one of our main objectives. The EFSA has launched a trust mark. Trust marks play an extremely important role in creating and sustaining trust in Europe and the US. Consumers need trust marks to be assured that their rights are guaranteed. The trust mark also has an alternative dispute resolution system to deal with complaints that cannot be solved between buyers and sellers. So the EFSA also plays an important role in terms of having that single voice in discussions with both the government and policymakers. You would have seen in terms of the recent legislation in order to allow e-commerce to open up wide. So the EFSA was also involved in having those discussions with government. And then finally, we've got our eye firmly on the enormous opportunities which the African Free Trade Area will offer South Africa. And this requires close relations with government training, particularly for online B2B research and growth of trust.
Okay, so on your end, what do you think you can bring to this new role, and what does the actual role entail? That's the first one, and then secondly, what are you hoping to bring to it? And is there a particular tenure in place? Is this for 1 year? How long? How does that process work?
So there isn't a tenure. Well, they certainly haven't informed me of one. So I think it's as long as I'm interested in, as long as it makes sense. So my role is part of it is secretarist, and part of it is to chair and steer the direction. So my background and what I bring is that I've always been in the technology industry, and my career has really been around improving businesses through the use of technology. So, you know, I also have had my own difficulties in the industry because it is a heavily male-dominated industry and it is not terribly inclusive. So my particular mission is to change that. I think, you know, I always consider my own journey, and the one thing that is, you know, that I firmly believe is that it's quite difficult to be what you cannot see. So I'd like to change that. I also, being from that technology industry, I understand the opportunities that e-commerce and technology presents for economic development. And my particular interest is to encourage the role of e-commerce and the digital economy to help the development of and empowerment of women and disadvantaged groups. So, you know, more women, financial inclusivity, digital enablement, that's going to be for the benefit of all. And we need to be working towards that quite aggressively. The EFSA has also been publishing studies of successful women in e-commerce, thanks to one of my board members, Mpho Sekwele, for some time. And these interviews have been taken up by the UN and published on their website, E-Trade for Women. You know, and I, as I also mentioned earlier, I really want to see a lot more improved research in this space as well.
Now, when it comes to online retail, when it comes to e-commerce, when it comes to, I guess, the retail sector as a whole, it's a really, really big industry. When you look at retail as a whole, a big contributor to GDP. But, you know, just from the research that we've done on our end, it seems that at least for 2018 and 2019, e-commerce and online retail still made up a somewhat small, you know, part of the retail landscape. I think the last number I saw was less than 2% of total retail in South Africa was being done online. Because of what's gone on with I guess the current crisis in place, what's your view on the growth of I guess online retail and e-commerce, especially given the fact that, as you said in the beginning, so many merchants, business people, etc., have sort of been forced to adopt this the technology and the different platforms as a way to keep operating at a time when normal business can't continue the way that it always has?
Yeah, absolutely. So e-commerce in South Africa has been under 2%. It was recently reported by Worldwide Works that it has now exceeded 2%. During lockdown, with the indicators that we've seen, it seems to have risen to about 5%, and potentially it could reach, we think, around 10%. So, you know, we need to also look at how does it compare to the likes of other more affluent markets like the US and the UK, for instance. And their e-commerce is around 16%, and I think 20% in the United Kingdom. These also would have increased considerably during lockdown. Other interesting things that we need to look at also is the number and amount of South Africans that are shopping online. And last year, Statista reported at least 52% of South Africans made at least one purchase online. This was 2019, before COVID. So you can imagine that that would have grown considerably during lockdown. We are still far behind the likes of the UK, France, Canada. Those are generally the region of 70 to 80%. However, we are ahead of countries like India, which is only 48%. So I think there it shows a clear indicator that so the Africans do have that appetite to be able to transact and be, you know, to the appetite to be able to make purchases online. The other thing I need to talk about here is that, you know, we generally look at retail, only retail, the retail sector, and the percentage of retail as being e-commerce. That's really not a wide indication of digital activity, because we have the airlines, we have travel, e-services, we have education. We have so many different industries that are fully digitally enabled that South Africans make purchases on that are not really part of the e-commerce sector. So if we're looking at the contribution of GDP, that's not really a holistic, true indicator. It is much wider than that. That is why you know, I'm speaking specifically to, there's a lot of research that needs to be done here to give us the value of that sector, of the online digital sector, and the contribution to GDP? And then how can we grow that even further and enable people to be involved and contributed?
I guess in the same breath for you, what are some of the things that perhaps have held back, I guess, before COVID, because we understand the driver of COVID in the last couple of months and maybe adopting more online activity when it comes to doing business. But before COVID, what were some of the things hindering South Africans from actually making more purchases online beyond the 52% that you mentioned just now? And I guess maybe at the same time, what are some of the strengths that South Africa has that are making it beat an India? Because you'd think perhaps some of these numbers would be higher in a country like India. It's one of those populations where you see a lot of mobile penetration and the like, and you sort of think that there would be a lot of activity in that country.
You know, there are different types of consumers. And I think in South Africa, we have bigger issues in terms of education and poverty. So if we look specifically at e-commerce, I would say really it's trust in education. So people don't have the know-how. They're not quite sure exactly how to go online and make purchases. And sometimes even if they do have that know-how, we have issues in terms of excessive data costs that might limit the ability for people to shop online. So we need to, those are significant barriers to growth, and we need to work on improving that kind of trust and know-how. From a from a retailer perspective, or I would say if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to get your business online, it isn't really as easy. You need to have the know-how. So I think there's more and more companies and information online now that will help you in terms of getting your business online, the platforms to use, and how to actually get a delivery company or a partnership, and all the way to how do you partner with a payment service provider to be able to get your goods online and to be able to sell it. So I think, you know, it is a business and you have to think about it like that end to end. And it can be a bit overwhelming if you don't have the know-how. The good thing is there is a lot of help out there now. So if we look at what has actually happened during lockdown, people were in a state of, well, you know, panic. What do I do now? Because I cannot sell my goods, so I need to look at different avenues. And that fear basically drove a number of things. One, the big retailers were able to get involved in some partnerships with the smaller delivery companies, for instance, because they had an issue where they couldn't actually keep up with the volume of delivery. So it opened up great opportunity there. And then some of the smaller entrepreneurs, there was a lot of innovation that was happening in that space. And there were also quite a bit of partnerships, because we see companies like Grenadilla, for instance. They were a swimwear shop that also they opened up their platform so that they could allow people who sold goods at the market to sell on their platform. So there was lots of opportunities for innovation and for partnership that drove different people from different sectors and even the informal trading sector to now be included and have a possibility of selling goods online. We even had small holdings, farmers, for instance, and butcheries now come online. And there was a shift from just shopping at retailers to shopping for local goods and inorganic markets, which was really, really refreshing.
I guess then that begs the question, what advice do you perhaps have for businesses, whether large or small? Because from what you're saying, it definitely sounds like, you know, e-commerce and trying to make that shift and still trying to make that contact with customers is a problem that's affecting businesses across the board, whether you're large or small. So from your vantage point, what are some of the things that people can do? You've already started touching on, you know, the partnerships, but where do you see the opportunities for people?
So my advice would be, if you have a business, you know, put the customer front of mind. So think about the user experience from the very beginning, the absolute first interaction. You know, what does my, if you have a website, what is my website going to look like? How do I present these goods? How do I interact with the customer? How do I make it easy for them to shop online? And consider that experience all the way to the point of the payment portion, making it a very simple and easy, not inundating them with, you know, too many, a lot of confusion and payment methods, and then with a really good delivery provider that is going to be reliable. And also looking at things like your service afterwards. How do you deal with things like refunds, for instance, return of goods, because that's where quite a few companies start to fall flat. And I think with so many companies that are now online in the space, there isn't really, you can't rely on customer loyalty. There's the customer has a lot of power, they have a lot of choice. So if you fall flat on that experience, they're more than likely going to go somewhere else. Also, the value of partnerships, don't do everything yourself. You don't need to be a storefront plus a delivery service plus everything else. You know, there are great opportunities to partner, especially when you're starting out. So look for those partnerships. And then as you grow, you can make changes. And I think here it's an opportunity for us to all grow together in the space. And that's what we should really be looking at.
On a last point, as we round up the discussion, I just want to shift to, I guess, what you are doing on a daily basis, which is leading the SA unit for one of the biggest payments companies in the world, that is PayU. How are you feeling about, online payments as a whole at the moment in South Africa?
Very, very positive. So I think I was a little concerned right at the beginning in the first 2 weeks when we went into level 5 lockdown, because we did see quite a considerable impact on our business. As you know, it was a very different story at that time, because essential services were literally the only services that you could sell online, and e-commerce was completely closed. So all our merchants were impacted. The news was really very negative. Some businesses were having to consider bailouts or closures. And then as soon as we started shifting down levels and then the government opened up e-commerce, things just changed absolutely drastically. And there were also, I think, right at the beginning, even though essential services was allowed, retailers did struggle to keep up with the demand. So a little later on, as the weeks went by, there were a lot more partnerships. So I think there were all the teething issues were ironed out. What we have seen now is that our volumes have just increased phenomenally. And just by the types of merchants that have come online, I think it really gives me great assurance in terms of the growth in the sector and the future. So I have a very, very positive outlook. There's certainly a lot more work that we need to do. And, you know, I think PayU's role really in the fintech sector is a specialist in emerging markets. And not only do we look at, you know, how do we grow our revenue, we also look at how do we encourage financial inclusivity? What kind of payment methods can we have? How do we get involved, for instance, in education and training? So we have a much wider role to play. But yeah, all in all, I have a very positive outlook.
What's the, I guess, the typical profile of the merchants that are using your platform? Do you sort of have, revenue ranges of the typical type of merchant who's using your platform? And what are some of the types of technologies? Is it card machines? Is it QR codes? What are you guys doing as PayU?
So PayU is fully online. We don't actually have anything in the card present sector. All our business and all our merchants, the business parts that we deal with are just on the online. We have a wide range of payment methods. We have about, I think it's 25 payment methods. The ones that are the most used are debit card, credit and debit card. Then it's bank transfer, so EFT. We also have a lot of other types of credit offerings as well via partnerships, and then some wallets like MasterPass, for instance. So we try to have a widest possible range of payment methods so that if you don't have a credit card, for instance, if you don't have a debit card, but you at least have a bank account, then you are able to transact online. Because as we know, about 76% of the population have a bank account. So it does cover quite a wide range. Okay. In terms of the business sectors, and this is really why, you know, talking to my first point in terms of e-commerce and how we see retail and, you know, e-commerce in that relation. So PayU, actually, our business is extremely diverse. So we have most of the large retailers, but also almost all the airlines that process with us. But we also have the taxi services, the e-taxi services. We have education, a large amount of the education sector. So it's really, really varied. And that is why, you know, I think we need to look at our indicators and we need to look at the sector inclusive and holistically and not just from a retail perspective.
And then on the last point, I guess your outlook for the economy and your sector, as you've you know, you've mentioned a lot of things just around e-commerce and then, you know, online payments and the fact that moving from different levels has seen that spike in activity. So from you, I guess the fundamental question that I'm trying to get an answer to is these shifts, these changes, this increase in online activity that's going on for businesses. Do you think this is an actual fundamental change in the way that South Africans are going to be, you know, doing business from here on forth? Or is this just in response to what's currently happening in that whenever things go back to normal, we'll go back to frequenting the malls and, you know, what South Africans have generally tended to be used to?
Yeah. So at this point in time, we're in a moment of uncertainty. And I think we, you know, we really have been forced to make changes. And also there's a need. So we need to get our goods. How do we do it? We have to go online. We need to look at what is the new normal going to be. And I think it's going to be a combination. So I certainly think people are definitely going to go out there, they're going to go to the shops. However, what has actually happened during this period is that it has given the opportunity for so many businesses that would probably have not have come online to do so at this time. It has also pushed the boundaries and it has pushed people to online. And that's all we need. We just need one person to start that interaction, to make that purchase and to get their goods. And then they can see the value and will keep coming back. We also know that, you know, even when we get to level one, we've been told by government that COVID is going to reappear. And so we don't know what the future certainly looks like. So I certainly believe that it has actually propelled the market forward in terms of e-commerce. And I don't think that it's going to we're all suddenly going to go back into the shops, but I also don't think that we're all suddenly just going to shop online. It is going to be a bit in between.
Okay, so that was us with Karen Addison, who is the country manager for PayU, a fintech company that provides payment technology to online merchants. She has recently been appointed as the chairperson for the e-commerce forum South Africa, and she was just taking us through what's going on in and around the e-commerce sector. She's just talking about the fact that there needs to be more research and more data that comes in so that they can have more insights. Just talking about the fact that most of the time when measuring what's going on in e-commerce, there tends to be a focus on online retail. Yet there is a wider net that needs to be cast because you have education, you have airlines and other travel industries that are, you know, encompassed all in there, but typically get left out of the data that we then hear about. And also just talking about the fact that e-commerce certainly has been helped by COVID-19, especially just in response and as a way for businesses to keep some type of contact or grow their presence with their customers, given the fact that people, you know, aren't frequenting the shops the way that they could, especially in level 4 and level 5 of the lockdown. And you know, going forward, the uncertainty is still there, but it's an in-between, because people will likely still go back to malls, but at the same time we would have trained ourselves to do more business online.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Online retail, e-commerce, you know, and the rest of that space, it's a growing space. But one of the things I really liked about the way that Karen was phrasing it is that there needs to be more inclusion in terms of the data sets and the data points that are actually being used to actually measure the growth of this particular sector. According to the research, online retail was worth about 14 billion rand in 2019. And that was with it sort of being below that 2% mark. And if we're saying that it's now you know, touching, you know, closer towards the 5% mark, and you know, being predicted to touch 10%, that is massive growth. And it could easily, you know, from those numbers, then it means you're going above the 100 billion rand mark in South Africa. But more than anything else, you know, that's this inclusion of the other, you know, the other data points would actually, you know, then show the fact that it's actually bigger than what people, you know, think it is. And in South Africa, I definitely think when you then think about all the purchases that people are making, because every time you get an Uber, you get Uber Eats, Mr. Delivery, you make an order on Takealot, all of it should be encompassed inside online retail and e-commerce. When you buy an airline ticket, if you book your hotel, you know, things like that, all of that should come into some of these numbers, just to measure the size of e-commerce and to show how big of an employer it is. Going forward, I personally think this lockdown period is something that will be able to grow, fundamentally grow the e-commerce sector, because more people have been forced to use online channels. And it's in response to a crisis, but it's the type of forced change that I think will have a long-term impact on South Africa's you know, business landscape as a whole. We can't just talk retail anymore, but you know, all other sectors after that. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. You can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a Multimedia Life production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.